ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಸಪ್ತದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯಃ. ನೌ ವಿ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ ಪೂಜಾ, ವಾಟ್ ರಾಜಸ ಪೂಜಾ, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ತಾಮಸ ಪೂಜಾ. ವಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ರಜಸಿಕ್ ತಮ್ ದ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಈಸ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ temperament. We saw the food. So everything, the three types of Shraddha, as I said, Bhagavan completed the topic of three types of Shraddha in the sixth verse. So the puja which we perform, the puja which we perform for our own spiritual well-being becomes a Sattvika puja. Your puja we perform is specifically for our material wellness, our material benefits, that is called, it's a rajasa puja, rajasik puja. And the puja is performed purposely for the destroying others, for harming others, it becomes a tamasik puja. Similarly, we have, you know, the food we discussed in the seventh verse. Aharas. ತ್ವಪಿ ಸರ್ವಸ್ಯ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ಭವತಿ ಪ್ರಿಯಃ ಯಜ್ಞಸ್ತಪಸ್ತಥಾ ದಾನಂ ತೇಷಾಂ ಭೇದಮಿಮಂ ಶೃಣು. ಆಹಾರಸ್ತ್ವಪಿ ಸರ್ವಸ್ಯ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ಭವತಿ ಪ್ರಿಯಃ ಯಜ್ಞಸ್ತಪಸ್ತಥಾ ದಾನಂ ತೇಷಾಂ ಭೇದಮಿಮಂ ಶೃಣು. The seventh verse, actually Bhagavan introduces, saying how in keeping with one's Shraddha, he aharaha, the food, sarvasya aharaha, the food is distributed by different people, is also trividaha, threefold. The food liked by people, liked by every individual being, is also threefold. The yajnaha, the worship, the ritual the person performs also is threefold. The penance, the austerity a person practices also is threefold. The dhanam, the charity a person shares with others also is threefold. How? In keeping with one's mental temperament. Bhagavan says, Arjuna, may you listen to their division. Division of what? Division of threefold food. What is sattvic aharaha? What is rajas aharaha? What is tamas aharaha? So what is rajasa yajna, tamas yajna, sattvika yajna? What is sattvikam tapaha? What is rajasam tapaha? What is tamasam tapaha? So what is sattvikam danam, rajasam danam, and also sattvik tamasam danam? And that, so what Bhagavan says, Arjuna, may you listen to the threefold division of all these. Now, in the seventh verse, he said that. So having Bhagavan discussed in the previous verse, the threefold Shraddha. Now, actually Arjuna's question was only about Shraddha. In fact, Arjuna answered this in the sixth verse itself. What are threefold Shraddha? He already explained. So the subject matter of the 17th chapter must be complete with the 6th verse itself. Because the title of the chapter is what? Shraddha Tray Vibhaga Yogaha. Arjuna actually asked Krishna the question regarding the Shraddha. Okay, Shraddha only, he asked only regarding the question, the Shraddha. So Bhagavan Krishna has answered the Arjuna's question. But still now, to make this answer elaborate and much clearer, Bhagavan himself, the question has been answered, but Bhagavan himself adds some more things, adds to the main subject matter of Shraddha. And Bhagavan, in the seventh verse, the seventh verse, Bhagavan introduces, Bhagavan himself introduces the few more things Bhagavan adds on his own in this seventh verse. So he says, Arjuna, I am going to discuss four more topics. Bhagavan says, Arjuna, I'm going to discuss four more topics. And those four topics also are very, very important, very relevant for a spiritual aspirant. What are those four topics? Aharaha. And he says, Aharaha Trividha. Food is threefold. Sattvika Aharaha, Rajasa Aharaha, Tamasa Aharaha. So there is a category of threefold food. Similarly, we can say, Yajnaha, the ritual a person performs also is of threefold. Bhagavan has already discussed about the puja. And Bhagavan has already discussed about the puja only from the standpoint of the Shraddha. But now Bhagavan wants to directly discuss about the puja. So earlier he discussed about puja only from the standpoint of Shraddha. But now Bhagavan directly wants to discuss about the puja. Okay, that is worship. Three types of worship. Then tapas means austerity, penance, also is three types. And danam is also three types. So Bhagavan wants to discuss, Bhagavan adds four more topics to the main topic of Shraddha. Shraddha is the main topic with Krishna. Arjuna himself asked, and Bhagavan added aharaha, yajnaha, aharaha, yajnaha, tapaha. Danam, four topics. And these four, aharaha, yajnaha, tapaha, danam, are very, very important things for any spiritual aspirant. So Bhagavan says, let me explain to you, Arjuna, may you understand their classification also. The categories of those four topics also. Okay. See, in Vedanta, in Shastram, there is a general rule that, what is general rule? Asattvikaha manushyaha. A person who is predominantly sattvic, a person who is, see, there's a general rule in the Shastram. General rule, you understand also in day-to-day life, that a person who is predominantly sattvic in nature, a person of sattvic is Shraddha, naturally will be interested only in the food also which is sattvic. The person who is predominantly sattvic will be interested in sattvika aharaha, sattvika yajnaha, sattvikam tapas, and sattvika danam. Because whatever your desires you have, all your desires will be in keeping with the nature of your mind, the mental temperament. How the mind, your mind is, accordingly your desires also will be. All the desires of a person will be based on how his mental temperament is, how his mind is. So the food which is desirable for a predominantly sattvic person is a sattvika aharaha. That is easy to say, isn't it? The food desired by a sattvic person is sattvika aharaha, sattvic food. But how can you understand who is a sattvic person, sattvika purushaha? Similarly, it is easy to say, a yajna, a ritual performed by a sattvic person is sattvic yajna. A charity given by a sattvic person is sattvicam danam. The penance followed by a sattvic person is sattvic penance. It is easy to say that. But we must know who is the person who is predominantly sattvic in nature. Kaha sattvikaha purushaha. There we will have a doubt. You don't know. Therefore Bhagavan says, Arjuna, please do listen to me. Okay. Now, all the verses in the following, in the whole chapter, 8th verse onwards, all the following verses will be discussing, Bhagavan will be discussing only these 4 topics. Okay.
Ayusattvabalarogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha. Ayusattvabalarogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha. Rasya snigdha sthira hridyaha. Rasya snigdha sthira hridyaha. Ahara sattvika priyaha. Ayusattvabalarogya-sukha-priti-vivardhanaha. Rasya-snigdha-sthira-hridyaha. Ahara-sattvika-priyaha. Ayusattvabalarogya-sukha-priti-vivardhanaha. Rasya-snigdha-sthira-hridyaha. Ahara sattvika priyaha. Ayusattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha. Rasya snigdha sthira hridyaha. Ahara sattvika priyaha.
Bhagavan says, aharaha sattvika priyaha. The foods which are desirable, which are pleasing for people of sattvic nature. The foods which are desired by sattvic people. Sattvika priyaha aharaha. Aharaha. What are those foods desired, pleasing for the sattvic people, desired by sattvic people? He says, Ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukha priti vardhanaha. See, vardhanaha means vardhanaha aharaha. Aharaha, those foods which vardhanaha means which increase. Vardhanaha, which enhance, which increase. Which enhance, increase what? Ayuhu. Ayuhu means longevity. The people of sattvic nature like the food naturally which increase longevity. Then sattva. Sattva means mind. Sattva bala arogyam. Sattva bala means mental strength. Arogya means physical health. Sattva bala arogya ahara means the food, those foods which increase the longevity, which enhance the mental wellness, mental strength, and physical health and strength. Okay, sattva bala arogya. Then sukha priti vivardhanaha. Sukham. Sukha means what? Comfort. Preeti, joy, pleasure. Those foods which increase longevity, span of life, which will increase mental wellness and strength, which will enhance one's physical strength and health, which will increase one's comfort and joy,
நாட்டில் ரஸ்யாகா, ரஸ்யாகா மீன்ஸ் த ஃபுட் விச் ஆர் ஃபுட் விச் ஆர் டெலிஷியஸ் டேஸ்டி. யூ ஈட் டேஸ்ட்லெஸ் ஃபுட் தென் தே நாட் ரியலி சாத்விக் பீப்புள். ரஸ்யாகா டெலிஷியஸ் ஃபுட். தென் ஸ்னிக்தாகா, ஸ்னிக்தாகா மீன்ஸ் the people, the sattvic people like food which are not dry. Snigdha means not too oily, it's not too dry, too not dry. And not only that, sthiraha, the food which is very nourishing. Sthira means very nutritious and nourishing. Hridyaha, and even when you see the food also, the food should look very pleasant. Sometimes that even looks also hridyaha, pleasing. So rasyaha, delicious. Snigdaha, not too dry. Sthiraha, highly nutritious and nourishing. Hridyaha, pleasing. So these are the foods sattvika priyaha, aharaha sattvika priyaha. These are the foods liked by people of sattvic nature. This is the literal meaning, okay, of the verse. So those foods which increase one's span, lifespan of life, one's mental health, physical health, comfort, pleasure, and which are delicious, not dry, nutritious, nourishing and pleasing are the foods liked by sattvic people. This is the literal meaning of this 8th verse. Now you can understand in the following verses, in 3 verses, 8th verse, 9th verse and 10th verse, Bhagavan discusses only about threefold food. Okay? Sattvika aharaha, rajasa aharaha and tamasa aharaha. Sattvic food, rajasic food and tamasic food, threefold food alone discussed in this 3 verses. 8 and 10. So, it's very important for us to understand our natural, we all have our own natural activities. Means the activities governed by our own instincts. The natural instinctive activities we all have naturally. And these, our natural instinctive activities can be elevated, uplifted to the higher level in terms of spiritual discipline. Our natural instinctive activities can be changed into spiritual disciplines. And this is the, and how can we change? That is the Vedic tradition's greatness. Vedic tradition's greatness is that in the Vedic tradition, ordinary natural instinctive activities can be converted into uplifting spiritual disciplines. Therefore, apart from regular spiritual disciplines, Shastram also prescribes what many other spiritual disciplines. And thereby what happens, what is unique about the Vedic tradition is, What is unique about the tradition is that natural instinctive activities, the day-to-day worldly activities also can be converted into spiritual disciplines, uplifting spiritual disciplines. How? By taking care of the discipline of being moderate in everything. This is a proper way of modifying the proper way of modifying one's ordinary, mundane, day-to-day, worldly activities into spiritual disciplines. And if you see, and the, of all those natural instinctive activities, the most of all the instinctive natural activities, the most instinctive, the most natural, the most instinctive activity is the activity which has been there from the time of birth. Because it's the basic activity, natural activity, most activity, which is there from the time of birth, is what? Time of birth. It continue, this activity, something continues to be there to throughout one's life and also until the last breath. The one activity which has been there from the time of birth to until the last death, last breath is what? That activity, okay, activity of breathing, the sleeping. The time you are born, you have been sleeping, you have been breathing. Even sleep, you wake up and you fall asleep. Breathing non-stop you have been doing. You have an activity, you can say it's a function. It's a natural instinctive function. And then breathing is, if the breathing has to be there, the function of breathing has to be there always. And the most, the basic activity of all living beings is what? I come to the point, okay? The breathing is very basic thing, without which one cannot be called a prani. The pranaha yasya asti saha pranihi. Or praniti iti prani. That the one that which breathes is called prani. That which has the breath is called prani. So whatever is naturally there, even if you, the prana, whether you like it or not, naturally prana is there. Breathing is always happening. But if we place our attention, but we don't pay attention to the breathing. If we place attention in this act of breathing, okay, it's in the sense it's a function, but still, if you place attention to the breathing, and if you practice this deliberately, in a, as a regulated action, if you practice focusing the attention, you practice this same deliberate instinctive action also, if you practice deliberately in a regulated manner, and with the appropriate attitude, then even this simple breathing, the natural instinctive action becomes what? A spiritual discipline. And amazing, this type of converting the natural instinctive action operation into a deliberate practice. And in a deliberate practice in a regulated manner with the proper attitude, thereby converting it into a spiritual sadhana is not found in any other culture. So deliberately, if anything, any natural instinctive action is practiced deliberately in a regulated manner with the proper attitude, okay, it's a very ordinary, simple, basic action becomes a spiritual discipline. Then it is known as what? Pranayamaha. So pranayama, what is pranayama? Pranayama is nothing but a conversion of instinctive natural basic activity of breathing into a spiritual discipline. Because breathing is happening naturally. But when you place attention, and when you, if you can deliberately breathe in and breathe out and hold, if you practice the kumbhakam, rechakam, you know, purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, if you practice it deliberately, it becomes a discipline of pranayama. Deliberately practiced, regulated breathing is a amazing, one of the amazing disciplines presented by the Vedic tradition. And of course, it is not only, it's in, people think only physical health. It contributes for emotional well-being, also physical health. Okay, why, what I want to say? In the same way, so any activity can be converted into a spiritual discipline. You may think, why instead of talking about food, I'm talking about the prana. Because prana is associated with the food. So pranayamaha also becomes a form of worship, which we understood in the fourth chapter. How, when we have, if with the purushartha nischeha, the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, and to having prepared, mental preparation is the ultimate goal. If a person practices purush, this pranayama also, this becomes a worship, yajna. And if the pranayama is practiced with the mantra, chanting of a mantra, it becomes a, this is a, it becomes a really great yajna, because it's a sagarbha pranayamaha. So uttering the name of the Lord, remembering the name of Bhagavan, if a person regulates his prana, deliberately regulates his prana, and then it becomes sagarbha pranayamaha. And even practicing such a pranayama becomes prescribed as, in some shastram, our shastram, prescribed as a prayaschitta karma, which can even neutralize our papams, some sins, unknowingly done sins also, can be neutralized by practicing this pranayama as a yajna. So people who do not have any money to do some big payaschitta karmas, they can practice pranayama, thereby they can have their sins reduced also. Okay, this is the breathing. And next, of all the most important basic natural instinctive activities, next to breathing, what is important is, if the breathing has to go on continuously, then there must be eating. Your eating is another action, natural instinctive action, which we all have been doing from the time of birth. Then we were not eating ourselves, we were fed by mothers. Then throughout the life we are eating and eating and eating and eating, and until the last breath we are eating again. When oxygen is given, means it's also another way of eating only. So anyway, throughout our life, the eating is the, again, a basic act, natural instinctive activity. And our shastram teaches, you can convert this basic natural instinctive activity of eating into, okay, deliberately practiced spiritual discipline with the proper attitude. So simple, instinctive, natural activity, basic activity of eating can be converted into deliberately practiced and regulated action with the proper attitude, converted into a spiritual discipline, practice deliberately with the proper attitude. By practice, when the same eating, practice deliberately with the proper attitude becomes a spiritual discipline. Can you believe? Eating becomes a spiritual discipline. Yajna. So Bhagavan, we are going to see later on. We already seen in the 15th chapter, we have seen that how Bhagavan said, you know, that eating becomes a yajna. So aham vaishvanaraha bhutva parinam deham ashritaha. Bhagavan says, Bhagavan alone is there in the form of Vaishvanara Jataragni. And Bhagavan is the one who, Devata, to whom the food is offered. Your eating becomes a prana agnihotram karma. Eating becomes prana agnihotram karma. So if pranayama is, the breathing becomes the pranayama yajna, and the eating becomes prana agnihotram karma. Similarly, even our, including going to toilet also, I tell you, bathing, everyday bathing becomes, can be converted into a ritual. So what we need to understand, in Vedic tradition, all our natural instinctive activities are converted into a form of worship, a spiritual discipline. Now, ahara yajnaha, how can we convert this basic instinctive activity of eating into a worship? Ahara yajnaha. This is very important. So if we invoke, if we call the names of all rivers, before you take the bucket full of water, or even you touch the tap and think of all the rivers, and then you say, may all the rivers be in this water. If you say, you convert your water into a holy river, any water, wherever you are breathing, by invoking the name Bhagavan of rivers, and the water becomes holy water, holy river water, then when you bathe, even that bathing becomes a spiritual discipline. Remember what I'm saying? In Vedic tradition, it's very important. Remember, Vedic tradition is the only tradition where simple day-to-day, mundane, natural, instinctive activities are converted into a form of worship, a spiritual discipline. Therefore, even the aharaha, the eating, taking food also can be converted into yajna. Ahara yajnaha. Aharaha means taking in. Taking in something is called ahara. Ahara yajna is also one of the important spiritual sadhanas. Therefore, Bhagavan Krishna takes special efforts to talk to us about, even though Arjuna did not ask about it, Bhagavan Krishna himself takes the topic and discusses here. And he presents the three categories of ahara. Yes. The food we take can be categorized from three different angles. Okay. The food we take can be categorized from different angles. And there are four factors. There are four factors we can consider. There are four factors. Then those four factors can be considered to determine the type of food I'm eating. Four factors can determine the type of food I'm eating. Okay. The first is, where has the food come from? What is the food from? The source of food is the first factor. The source of food is the first factor which determines the type of food. And in Vedic tradition, the importance is always given that the source of food is definitely vegetarian. That means the source of food, the food comes from definitely the food we eat, what the cooked food. Is it? So the source of food, vegetarian food only. So when the person, whoever cooks the food and serves the food also, must have the attitude, proper attitude. The person who cooks has the proper attitude and he serves the food with the proper attitude. So the cooking the food with proper attitude and serving the food with the proper attitude also converts the food into a type of food. Therefore, the source of food determines, from where the food comes from determines the type of food. Then the food, the person who cooks the food, with what attitude he cooks the food, with what attitude he serves the food, the food is served, cooked with love and kindness and compassion. When the food is served like kindness and compassion, the food, with what attitude the food is cooked, with what attitude the food is served, all this also determine the type of food. Therefore, we receive the food also very carefully. How the food, what Shastran says, whenever whoever receives the food, and the food, receiving of the food must be what? The food is received only depending upon the source of the food. We will not receive any food. We'll see what is the source of the food. When we see the food also, because along with the food, what we are receiving, no, the punya papams which goes with the food also. The invisible punya papam also comes with the food. So from whom I receive the food and with what attitude the food was cooked, with what attitude the food is given, served, all this is involved there. Therefore, why? Because even though we are eating the food for mainly for physical nourishment, we were very, very careful. We never eat our food only for taking care of the physical body. The food is eaten for the nourishment of both mind and the body. So food is eaten not only for the physical nourishment, the food is eaten for the mental well-being also. Therefore, food is eaten for the spiritual nourishment also. It is not just the physical nourishment, it's also for the spiritual nourishment. Therefore, the food, we receive the food carefully depending upon the source. Suppose the source from where we receive the food is not negative. The person who gives the food is not giving with a good attitude. That is not a good, the food is not from a proper source. Even a vegetarian food, I'm saying, of course, we are not talking about non-vegetarian food, okay? Now, vegetarian food also, the person who gives, from where we get the food, should not have any negative attitude. Then the negative, if the support, the source of food is negative, then it's going to involve me in sin. Okay? And such papam, the papam a person earns by receiving food from a negative source, a wrong source, is known as asat pratigraha papaha papam. Asat pratigraha papam. Asat pratigraha papa means a person who gives the food is not a right source, an impure source. A person who gives the food is, if he is impure, a person of impure minded person. The giver of food is impure minded. Then the source of food becomes what? Impure source. Asat means impure. Asat parigraha papaha means the person who receives the food from another person who is impure minded, then that food has what? Impure source. Therefore it involves papam. Asat pratigraha papaha means accepting food from an impure source. Asat pratigraha means accepting or receiving food from an impure source is called asat pratigraha. And asat pratigraha papaha means the person who has the papam of accepting food from an impure source. Accepting food from an impure source. And this is the main reason, to avoid this sin of receiving food from an improper source, an impure source. Impure source is what? Improper source is what now? To avoid, that is the reason, main reason. In our tradition, always we used to say, in order to avoid this sin of receiving food from the impure source, always there's a habit of not taking food from outside. Okay, we never go out and eat food from outside. Always come back home and eat your own food. But we will go and eat with anywhere, you know. So eating, why? It's such a great discipline. So going and eating anywhere food is not a great deal. But nowadays you can't help. Once you step out of the house, you have to eat anywhere. Because the small things are given importance in those days. They give such a great importance for all this. Oh, eating outside. Oh, what a big deal. Everybody is going and eating out nowadays. Yes, nowadays it's become a very, because most of the people are doing. So whatever people are doing becomes right. Because everybody is doing, therefore it is right. But those days such an importance was given for such a small things, mainly for maintaining this discipline. Because everything is for one's own spiritual well-being. So considering everything is very important, because all for spiritual well-being. Because who is the person who cooks the food? With what attitude the person cooks the food? With what mental condition the person is cooking the food? And how the person cooks the food, etc. All these add to the source of the food. Especially, of course, in all the hotels, they think the big serve. Of course, it is of great help nowadays for people who are in a hurry, living in a hurry life, world, but still, cooking with a lot of unpleasant thinking and complaining attitude, and especially commercial interest, definitely that food is what? That food is not cooked and served with great love and respect. Okay? As a purpose, it becomes a pratigraha, pratigraha papam, asat pratigraha papam. Because the source is not okay. And suppose if a person goes and eats from somebody unknowingly or knowingly a person happens to receive some food and which is for the source of which is not a pure source, then the person wants some prayaschitta karma. Therefore, next day in Shastra, that's also recommended in our Shastra. No, next day the person will go and bathe and uttering Bhagavan Nama to get himself cleansed of that papa. Because asat pratigraha papam, in order to get the asat pratigraha papam washed off, chanting the name of the Lord, the person will have another bath. The bath will not change what has gone inside. But again, uttering the names of the Lord, the person bathes so that one can get one's asat pratigraha papam cleansed. He says, receiving all improper food, otherwise called junk food, from different sources and all sorts of drinks which are sold in bottles, etc. Okay, all of them. There's a prayer also. May all those be food that become washed off. There's a prayer to Varuna Bhagavan to wash off all those improper, the food, this is an improper source. And okay, this is the first factor, okay? Then what is the second factor which determines the food? So the source of food implies from whom I'm receiving the food, with what attitude the person cooks, with what attitude the person serves, all this tell us the source of food. It can be asat pratigraha food, it can be. And second, the next factor is the food, the type of the quality of the food. The second factor is what? The quality of the food. The source of the food is the first factor. The quality of the food is the second factor. And here, Bhagavan says, Sattvika Rajasa Tamasa Aharaha. Bhagavan is going to explain to us. So, the food which has been being recommended in our tradition and which is also well arranged, well designed food. So the food, in fact, the food generally, normally, the proper food is what? Food is from all the plants only. Oshadi Bhyonam. For regular vegetarian food, regular, normal, vegetarian food becomes the sattvic food according to our Shastra. So, if a person is a spiritual aspirant, a person is desperately aspiring for jnanam and moksha, definitely, choicelessly, that person should convert himself into a vegetarian. I'm not arguing now. Why can't we eat non-vegetarian food? I'm not saying. You have choice. You can choose to eat. But if you want spiritual progress, if you want to become mentally subtle soon, if you want to be mentally sharp and mentally stable and sharp, and if you want to really attain jnanam soon, you desperate for jnanam and moksha, then no, Shastram does recommend that one must be a pure vegetarian. See, if you want, we are not interested in jnanam and moksha, if you are not a spiritual aspirant, you eat whatever you want to eat. okay, and remain samsara, like a buffalo in a slush. Nobody is going to question. Your choice. See, this, we do not control anybody here. Now, nobody is controlled by the Shastra. Shastra says, if you want, you can eat, no problem. You do whatever you want to do. But remain in the slush of samsara forever. But if you are desperate, you are a spiritual aspirant, then see that you are a vegetarian first. So, simply being vegetarian alone will not make a person attain moksha and jnanam. But that is one of the basic disciplines a person must follow. To spiritual wisdom is somewhere far. And basic, one has to start one discipline first of all, is being a vegetarian. And second thing, any food you cooked, vegetarian food, okay? Vegetarian food cooked, if it is offered to Bhagavan, then food offered to Bhagavan also has the quality of being sattvic. Food offered to Bhagavan becomes sattvic aharaha. Okay? So vegetarian food and food offered to Bhagavan is a sattvic aharaha. The food, the sattvic quality. The food has sattvic quality. So, now, Bhagavan will discuss other things. Okay? But the third factor associated with the food is quantity of food. The source of food, the quality of food. Now we have to understand the quantity of food. And how much food one should eat. What sort of vegetarian food one should eat. It must be offered to Bhagavan. It must come from the pure source. Now the quantity also. Quantity means what? One must eat only when a person is hungry. One must eat the food only when a person is hungry. Because food is not eaten simply for the sake of pleasing the sense organs. Food is not eaten only for pleasing the sense organs. Food is eaten as a medicine for curing the disease of hunger. Because anything which causes discomfort is disease. Hunger, appetite causes discomfort. Therefore, hunger is what? Hunger causes discomfort. Hunger is disease. The food is a medicine which is eaten to remove the disease of hunger. When a person is not hungry, they're not supposed to be eating. Suppose you can eat to appease your hunger. You do not eat too little. You can eat whatever your stomach needs. But still, one should not eat too much also. One must eat to that. How much one should eat? One must eat that much food which removes one's hunger. So always one must have little hunger left behind. One need not appease the hunger fully. One must eat enough to appease the hunger, but one must also leave little hunger behind. This is very important. Even in Tamil they say, na pashittu iru. Always remain little hungry. Don't need to starve and become weak and all. You must eat. But you must also eat enough. That's a very important factor. We have seen three factors now. Source of food, quality of food, the quantity of food. Now, the fourth factor is what? The manner of eating. The manner of eating. Okay, how the person eats the food. What is the proper manner of eating? Proper way of eating the food. Why? Because eating itself is a ritual. Eating itself is a worship. Eating is a yajna. Eating is a form of yajna, a worship. It's a puja. Therefore, whenever we eat, this eating, the process of eating must be approached with reverence. The process of eating must be approached with reverence. If the process of eating must be done like how a person eats the puja, naturally, how you can't sit, puja means you must sit first of all. Similarly here also, just as a person has to sit and do the puja, similarly here, when you eat also you must sit and eat. Walking, standing, running, okay, if you eat, that's not a proper way of eating. The fast food, people go and order sitting in a car. Sitting in a car, they order and they stand and eat, or they walk and eat. People biting sandwiches, they run to the station because there's no time. I'm not saying right or wrong, but what Shastam says, even proper way of eating itself is one of the factors which converts that action into a puja, the discipline, spiritual discipline. The simple basic thing. We are, so what? If I eat a sandwich, walking, running, won't I attain moksha? That's not the question here. Because if eating has to become a discipline which contributes for a mental preparation for jnanam, then it's a proper way of eating. The fourth fact is the manner of eating is also contributes for determining what food we are eating. Sattvic food, rajasic food, tamasic food. Definitely if a person walks, eating, walking or running, sitting in the train, then definitely, every day. Definitely that is not sattvic food. Therefore, now the manner of eating and the attitude with which you are eating also, not just as the person who cooks and he gives also, the attitude with which you are eating also, convert the food into a clean food. Because when you are eating, if it is a yajna, the food you're eating is offered to Bhagavan in this temple of the body of temple. This body is like a temple. And the food is offered to Bhagavan only. That is the attitude you must have when you're eating. I'm offering this food to Bhagavan in this body. Then you must, if that reverence is there, then you must sit. And one must sit and eat. And second thing, eating also, we should not find fault with food. Annam na nindyat. Annam na nindyat. Annam na parichakshita. So we must have great reverence for the food we are eating. And you must sit and eat. And must take care of the quantity of the food that you're eating. The quality of the food must take care. And then we must eat the food with great reverence. Even when I'm eating, as eating is a yajna, if I have a reverence for the act of eating, because I'm offering food to Bhagavan within me, is a yajna, even then our mind should not be allowed to involve itself in something else. Okay? Indulging in some other activity while eating is also not correct. Okay? Indulging in any other activity when you're eating is also not right. So when you're performing a puja, talking in between is not appropriate action. You're getting a phone call or calling another person sitting in the puja, Even in the class time, I'm telling you, it is not the distracted. Distraction is not good. So while we are eating, involving oneself, indulging oneself in some other activity is not a proper action. And that is actually, that's an insult to Bhagavan living in your own body. So along with the performance of puja, we cannot do something else simultaneously. Similarly, when I'm eating also, I should not involve myself in any other activity. Even talking is not allowed. When you're eating, the focus of mind must be in the food only. We have been talking. Suppose you helplessly have to talk also, and be very, very careful what you should not talk at all when you're eating. Even if you happen to talk helplessly, then the subject matter you talk about during eating also you must take care of. No, others expressing one's jealousy or hatred. Any talks involving jealousy, hatred, finding for others, scolding others, etc. That is also that converts the food into bad food. Therefore, as eating is a yajna, I must have reverence, and the reverence must be expressed in the form of not talking. And not talking anything unwanted, unnecessary things also. The source of food and the influence that food, the source of food having in a person. And the second factor is the quality of the food. The quantity of food, thirdly. And we saw also the way, the manner of eating food. All this, okay, you can say the source of food, the quantity of food, and the manner of eating the food, all this contribute for converting the food into a food of good quality or a bad quality. In fact, this Upanishad, this one of the biggest Upanishads is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And Bhagavan, actually in that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a upasanam, this meditation prescribed specifically for invoking the grace of Vaishvanaraha. And the digest Bhagavan in the form of digestive fire. Bhagavan obtaining in the form of digestive fire in our stomach is called Vaishvanaraha. And to invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of digestive fire obtaining in our stomach, the special meditation is prescribed in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, Bhagavan obtaining of Vaishvanara digests the food. Therefore, what? Eating is the Agnihotram Karma. Nitya Prana Agnihotram Karma. And as eating is a Prana Agnihotram Karma, eating is a ritual. Therefore, this ritual must be performed with great reverence. They must approach this eating itself with great reverence. So one must begin one's eating with prayer. Because the very process of eating is what? Is a prayer. It's a ritual performed. And therefore, the process of eating is a process of beginning of the eating is, it involves prayer. The process of eating is worship. Therefore, the concluding the eating also is what? A worship only. So eating must be begun, done and concluded with the prayer. Prayerfully done, prayerfully begun. The act of eating must be begun prayerfully, done prayerfully, ended also prayerfully. Therefore, the food should not be what now? Should not become, should not contribute for our spiritual, should not become a spiritual hindrance for our spiritual growth. It should not poison our spiritual well-being, spiritual development. So the food we eat should contribute for physical well-being and for emotional well-being. It must contribute for a spiritual progress. So if a person accepts this act of eating, approaches this act of eating prayerfully, and the source also being important, the quality being important, the frequency of eating also is important, the manner of eating is very important. Therefore, and above all this, the quality of food is very, very important. And Bhagavan Krishna really highlights the quality, okay, the quality of food in these verses. Because Shastram says, if the food is pure, then mind will be pure. Food is pure, mind will be pure. And even in Chandogya Upanishad, it is said, okay, in Chandogya Upanishad, the whole chapter discusses so many things. And there is a special knowledge of Brahman is discussed in the 7th chapter. That is called, the topic is Brahma Vidya portion. It's called Bhuma Vidya. The portion where Brahma Vidya is discussed as Bhuma Vidya, the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, Brahma Vidya is discussed as Bhuma Vidya. In that portion, Chandogya Upanishad mentions the food eaten is pure, then mind will be pure. The food is impure, mind also will be impure. It means the food is pure, the mind will be pure. The mind is pure, the person will be able to receive the teaching, retain the teaching, assimilate the teaching, attain the self-knowledge also. He will have firm memory. And if you have a very good retentive power, and if you have retentive power, he can assimilate also. He can assimilate the teaching, he can enjoy the benefit of the teaching also. Therefore, even in that context, Upanishad says, ahara is very important. The food you take contributes tremendously for your mental purification, mental well-being also. Even though simply eating sattvic ahara will not liberate a person, will not remove one's ignorance, but definitely eating sattvic ahara, taking all these things into account, the source of food, the type of, the quality of food, the quantity of food, the way of eating the food, all these contribute for converting the act of eating into a ritual. And thereby it contributes for the mental preparation required for the jnanam. If a person cannot take care of the simple discipline in this eating, definitely that person will not be qualified for the attainment of jnanam. However brilliant a person is, he can understand everything also. In fact, so much of information I have to tell you. The Chandogya Upanishad says, in the Chandogya Upanishad, The same Chandrapurusha where I said, the Bhuma Vidya, the seventh chapter, known as the seventh chapter is discussion on Brahma Vidya, which is known as Bhuma Vidya. That even the teacher mentions the food that we eat. The teacher mentions the food that we eat has, the food that we eat consists of three layers. The food that we eat consists of three layers. It is sthula layer, madhyama layer, and a sukshma layer. Which means what? Sthula bhagaha, madhyama bhagaha, and a sukshma bhagaha. Sthula bhagaha means the gross aspect of the food, the gross part of the food. Okay? The gross aspect of the food will cater to the taste. Okay? And the gross aspect of the food which contributes for the taste, and the gross aspect of the food will be evacuated, will be excreted as a waste. There is this sthula bhagaha, the gross aspect of the food. And there is middle aspect of the food, madhyama bhagaha. The middle aspect of the food contributes for the physical nourishment. As I told you already, the gross aspect of the food which contributes for the taste will be excreted, evacuated as outside, the waste. And the middle aspect of the food contributes for the physical nourishment. I mean, all the minerals, etc. Okay. You need fat, protein, carbohydrate, magnesium, potassium, etc. So that contributes for the physical nourishment. So the madhyama bhaga, the middle aspect of the food, does not cater to the taste. It caters only to the physical nourishment in terms of all the nutrients. And the subtle aspect, the sukshma aspect of the food we eat, the sukshma bhagaha, subtle aspect of the food we eat contributes for the subtle nourishment. So the middle aspect of the food contributes for gross physical body, nourishment to the gross physical body, whereas the subtle aspect of the food contributes for the nourishment of the subtle body. So gross aspect goes waste, middle aspect of the food contributes for physical nourishment, and the subtle aspect of the sukshma bhaga of the food contributes for nourishment of the subtle body. Therefore what? The mind, okay? The mind contributes to the mental well-being. So that the food, the type of food that we eat, we relish, contributes for our calm mind, serene mind, agitated mind, restless mind, distracted mind, disturbed mind. So what? The subtle aspect of the food we eat contributes for our, the type of mind we have. I'm not telling you the story, okay? It's a Shastram. It is a content revealed. The teacher says all this in Chandogya Upanishad. Therefore, not only the mind, even when you say subtle means what? Mind also subtle sense organs. Our sense organs also will be sharp and alert, or they sense organs also will be dull in keeping with the type of food you eat. Therefore, the subtle aspect of the food that we eat contributes for the wellness of our nourishment of our mind and sense organs. And also function, physiological functions. Therefore, whether whatever food we are eating, that food has sthula bhagaha, madhyama bhagaha and sukshma bhagaha. And they contribute respectively for what? The portion which gets wasted and the physical nourishment, and also for nourishment of the subtle body. And you suppose if you are a spiritual aspirant, the person who is spiritual aspirant and he must take care that what is that food he eats which contributes for the nourishment of the subtle body. That is also because what? Because that's a spiritual discipline. And such a person who thinks that the subtle, the sukshma bhaga, subtle aspect of the food that he eats should contribute for spiritual discipline means, and he must be careful in choosing the sattvic food. Because sattvic food alone will contribute for the nourishment of the sukshma shariram. And always eating highly tamasic food and rajasic food, and you cannot blame, okay? It's okay. Somehow the body will survive. The body may get lots of nutrients. You don't have a protein, so eat mushroom. You don't get that, eat this. People say all these things. You can eat anything. Your body will give all nutrients. Your body physically will be very strong and nice. So what? The mind you do not take care of mind. And the food sometimes which may contribute for the physical nourishment, but it is dead against your subtle body. And the subtle body is against subtle body means your spiritual progress becomes a big flop. Therefore, one must see the food one eats is a sattvic ahara. This sattvic ahara is very important, which contributes for spiritual progress and attainment of spiritual wisdom also. Therefore, now with this understanding, we need to understand what is that which is good for, which will contribute for my spiritual progress. What is the food which will contribute for my nourishment of subtle body? Also, so taking care of subtle body, we are not asking you to ignore your physical body. Of course, physical health is equally important, very, very important. So one must eat nutritious food which contribute for physical well-being and also for emotional well-being. In a sense, which contribute subtle nourishment of subtle body also. The food you eat, you must see that the food you eat contributes not only for physical nourishment, it also contributes for your subtle nourishment of subtle body, which is very important for your spiritual growth. Now the question is, so how can I understand what is that food? What is sattvika ahara? What is rajasa ahara? What is tamasa ahara? So the answer is what? The vegetarian food is sattvika ahara. And our, of course, Vedic tradition always recommends sattvika ahara. And people come and argue. Why Ashwamedha Yaga? In the Veda itself, animal sacrifice is done. This is all, we don't argue unnecessarily. Even if some animal sacrifice, etc., is recommended in the Vedashastram, the one Karma Kanda portion, that is only for people who are aspiring for material benefits. One has to grow out of it. If you are a spiritually inclined person, then you must say no to anything which involves hurt, himsa. Therefore, the food that is in the Vedic tradition, the food always recommended is what? Only vegetarian food. Only sattvic food. And in fact, alcohol, all sorts of hot drinks, non-vegetarian food, they're all highly rajasic in nature, not tamasic. So as person who is a spiritual aspirant definitely should say no to them, should avoid them. And one must see that one confines to vegetarian food. And even vegetarian food also, even the vegetarian food also can be sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. Non-vegetarian food is definitely rajasic and tamasic. And vegetarian food also is what? That is, vegetarian food also can be sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. So Bhagavan is going to say in the 8th verse, Ayuhu Sattva. We saw already, we read the verse. Ayuhu Sattva Bala Arogya Sukha Preeti. So many things. Okay? Ayuhu Sattva Bala Arogya Sukha Preeti Vivardhanaha. So the sattvic ahara, the sattvic food will contribute for the nourishment of the longevity, then enhance the span of life, and the sattva, okay, mana, sattva balam means what? Mental strength will contribute for the enhancement of mental strength. Mental strength means a person will have mental resistance, mental resilience. And he will be strong enough to avoid unnecessary wrong things. He will be able to have mastery over his desires and anger. Very highly violent emotions. See, emotions which rise from your mind. A person will have enough strength to manage one's violent emotions. It's called mental strength. Okay? So, sattva balam means a person, the sattvic food will contribute for mental resistance, that he will be able to manage violent emotions. A person who is not strong enough, mentally strong, mentally weak person, will become a victim of the violent emotions. He will become a slave of violent emotions. Then arogyam. The sattvic food also comes for health. Physical health. So people who eat vegetarian food do not become, of course, everybody becomes physically sick. The people who eat non-vegetarian food become much, much more sickly. Then sukham, this food contributes for what? Sukham. Sukham means inner leisure. Puja Swamiji always says, inner leisure, which you cannot buy it. That you can be relaxed internally. The capacity to be relaxed internally. is possible if you have that sattvic ahara. Then physically you will feel comfortable. Mentally also you'll feel comfortable. So mental comfort, physical comfort means you're free from disease. So being mental, enjoying, having a physical comfort means being free from mental, physical illness. And having a mental comfort means, you know, being free from tension, stress, agitation, restlessness. So mental comfort. Nisukam. Then, Preetihi. So Preetihi, already I said comfort. Sukham also means comfort. Preetihi means love. Love implies here joy. Even having a joy while eating is a comfort you have at the time of eating. So the Preetihi and comfort, Preetihi and Sukham, two, both the words mean comfort. Okay, the word Preetihi means love, joy, but the word Preetihi and Sukham, both Sanskrit words mean comfort. If a person enjoys comfort before eating or at the time of eating, the person enjoys comfort at the time of eating, it's called Preetihi. And the person enjoys comfort after eating is what? Sukham. While eating, you enjoy comfort, which is called Preeti. If a person enjoys comfort after eating, it is called Sukham. So Sattvic Ahara, okay, is an Ahara, which a person enjoys comfort while eating, at the time of eating. A person enjoys comfort even after eating. That food is Sattvic Ahara. Then we say, what happens if a person eats the other food, the rajasic food, tamasic food, you know, while eating also you feel discomfort. After eating also you'll be feeling more discomfort. While eating you say, hot, and after eating running to the toilets. So after eating also there is asukham, discomfort. While eating also is discomfort in eating rajasic food and tamasic food. There's having the feeling of being light while eating and after eating is what? Samsukham. There's a comfort. Mentally you feel comfortable. Physically you feel comfortable while eating, after eating. That's Preetihi and Sukham. Then, Rasyaha means the food was what? The food is tasty food. In fact, a person from childhood, so we have to make children learn to eat vegetarian food from childhood so that the children gradually develops taste for. See, what do you have to develop, learn to have taste for food. Okay, delicious food. The delicious here also implies sweetness. So even though we say sugar is very bad for health, okay, but sweetness is actually taken to be sattvic. When, if you eat too much of sweet, it is not sattvic food. Anything sweet eaten in a very little quantity, the little quantity of sweetness. So sweetness, A sweet food in little quantity is said to be a sattvic food. If we eat lots of sugar, it is not sattvic, okay? Sweetness in limited quantity is a sattvic food. So, rasya. It is delicious. It is adequately sweet and delicious is called rasya. This is sattvic food. The snigdha. The food which is not too dry, it is not too oily, no too dry, but which has adequate sweet, adequately it is sticky. It has, that's why we are always add ghee. Ghee makes our food sattvic food. Again, ghee also, we drink ghee. In Ayurveda hospital, they make you drink a medicated ghee. That's different. It's called, that's a medicine. But ghee also in little quantity is a sattvic food. Then sthiraha, I stop with this, okay? Sthiraha means the food which nourishes the body, physical body, which also nourishes the subtle body, is proper sthira food. Which nourishes only the physical body is not a sthira food. With the food which contributes for the physical and the mental nourishment is vegetarian food is what? Sthira. And hridya, this is enough. Okay? The hridyam is the food, even when you see the food also, it must look pleasing. So sattvic food must be delicious. Delicious. It must be sweet and delicious. Like little sweet and delicious means it must look also pleasing. When you see the food, it must look pleasing. So it must please the tongue, it must please your eyes also. The food which pleases the tongue because of its taste, it also pleases your eyes because of its look. It pleases your tongue and eyes. This is a hridyam, aha, hridyaha aharaha. Now, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, the food of this nature, this is what the sattvic food is like this. The person who is predominantly sattvic in nature naturally will be interested, will be attracted towards such foods. Okay. Therefore, these are the sattvika aharaha. Have you answered? Is it clear now? So definitely a spiritual aspirant must give up non-vegetarian food. I will not tell this openly to everybody. I can tell in my Gita class. It's not that vegetarian alone will be eligible and it is not eligible. It is highly rajasic and tamasic. Okay, we have seen today sattvic ahara. Don't only think of food. Even vegetarian food also you must take care. I told you four factors, remember? The quality, quantity, the source, and the manner of eating. All these things contribute for converting the food into sattvic food. Vegetarian food also. It must contribute for our physical and emotional well-being. Remember the Chandogya Upanishad teaching. Tamasa bhagaha, sattvika sthula bhagaha, madhyama bhagaha, and sukshma bhaga. How three layers of food, which contributes for what? Okay, so today we have covered the only one meaning of one verse. It's okay. We'll continue next class. Om. பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரிஹி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம்.